1 Corinthians 13, this is our final lesson on love as far as I know. For this season, we'll come back to it again and again because love is the one commandment of the New Testament. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. And so this is the description of love given by the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. It's a good thing we have the love of God shed abroad in our heart. There are three words for love. Some authors use four. But there's eros, which is television love, E-R-O-S. There's phileo, which is brotherly love, affection. Has to do with feelings and emotions. And then there's God's love, which is always termed agape. It's a love of decision. We sing, I've decided to follow Jesus. Well, we decide to do what God wants us to do what's right in every situation, even if you don't feel like it. Feelings are the caboose of the train. You can drive this train with or without the caboose. And if you take off with the engine, God hooks up the caboose of feelings. He rescues us because he knows we're spirit, soul, and body, and all three parts of us are important. But we drive our life with the spirit, not with the soul, which would incorporate the emotions, and not certainly with the body, which has to be crucified because it always leads us in the wrong direction. So we're going to go down to endureth all things. I gave you some definitions. We have a concept of endure that's very shallow. If you have a 3 o'clock appointment and you're still sitting there at 3:30 or 4 o'clock, you ever done that? You think you're enduring. And somebody next to you is talking too loud or talking to you. That's what I don't like. One lady next to me said, did I tell you I had cancer? I said, no, ma'am. Thinking, oh, no. I don't know about you, but when I go to an appointment, I don't need anybody to be friendly, okay? That's just my thing. And she talked and she talked. And there's somebody that talks and their volume fills the entire room. Everybody in the room knows their life story because they're telling it so loud. It's always some reason. And what when we think of endure, we think I'm tolerating misery. That's our definition, tolerating misery. And endurance is a long way from tolerating misery. It's toleration with the right attitude. It's toleration with right actions. Now, here's your definitions that come from here, there, and yon, to suffer without yielding. It's easy when you're pressed to the wall to get irritated and aggravated. But we already found in this description of love that love is not easily provoked. See, the interesting thing about being provoked is when you provoked something or somebody started something and you reacted. So their wrong, their error, made you cause an error. You yielded to their mistake and made a mistake yourself. Ugh. In other words, I'm letting you guide my behavior. That's terrible, isn't it? But if we endure, we're not going to yield to suffer. And it doesn't matter what kind of suffering, what kind of calamity. We're not yielding. We're not changing our attitude. We're continuing to walk in love. You're not provoking me. You're not irritating me. I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to be slow to speak. I'm going to be quick to hear. I'm going to do the right thing. To bear without sinking. I love that. Have you ever had something happen, you just sunk under the pressure of it? See, you have within you the love of God, which causes us to rise up and to be steadfast and unmovable. I love that. Because this is probably the one characteristic that I need to hear the most for me. To continue in the same state, and that's very important, without perishing. To continue. No matter what you say or what you do, you're not taking my faith. You're not causing me to veer from the love of God. I am going to walk in love. I've made that decision. I am patient. I am kind. I am slow to speak. I am not easily provoked. I will not be jealous. And those things are in me because the love of God is in me. And no matter what you do, what kind of pressure you put on me, I will not yield. I will not sink. And this definition says to sink in despondency. That's pretty low. I mean, I've let you guide my life. You see, when you come and you irritate me, or I irritate you, and you change, endure is that quality you have in you which refuses to change. It is godly, it walks with God, it talks with God, it does the right thing, and it will not be affected by the things around it. And when I am affected by what you said or what you did or what Wayne said or what he did or what my children said or what my neighbors said and what they did, I'm allowing your behavior, which I deem to be inappropriate, to cause my behavior to be inappropriate. You see that, don't you? I'm letting you cause me to make a mistake.